live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 188. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
What's going on, Brandon? What's going on, Crossroads listening audience? Man, what a week of sports. Halloween fell on the weekend, right? But, what a great week that we had in sports. And, man, I can't wait to recap some of it tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Big Halloween, spooky weekend, spooky in several ways. There was trick-or-treating on Sunday night. I put out on Twitter, I got some traction on the during the day that the Colts trick-or-treated. They thought they treated the Colts fans, but they ended up tricking them instead. So we'll dive into that a little bit. We've got Colts Titans recap, where the Indianapolis Colts sit after that game on Sunday and where they're looking to already a game on Thursday night, as the New York football Jets come to town. We've got other talks. Mm-hmm. Steelers, Browns, Saints, Bucks a little bit, some other struggles and throughout the league. We've got college football talk, some of the big games from the weekend, those results. We've got our picks this week, our rankings. Tanner will not be joining us tonight. He's got a prior commitment, so he'll be sending us picks in later on this week. Ball State, right. Cardinals play tonight, so the Cards are going to be on ESPN, I believe, this evening as we have weekday maction going on. We've got NBA talk with the Indiana Pacers, as well as some other news and notes from there. And then, obviously, tonight, also, World Series game number 6 of Braves-Astros. So, spoiler alert from me, I think this goes 7. So, just be prepared. John, sure. I got to start off this show with something that I don't do very often and something that I don't take lightly. First, I have to – let me find my sound, the sounder I need for it. You know, I stood up on a soapbox last week, John, and I said, you know what? Somebody's got to lead this team. Somebody's got to stand up for them. Somebody's got to lead the charge. I said, I think the Detroit Lions are going to win this game outright and cover the spread. And John, they had no fight. I thought I could will them to a win. There was no fight. They rolled over. They got their belly patted. They got scratched behind the ear, and they went into their little cage because, my God, that team quit in the first quarter. And I wasn't the only one that picked them to win. Dan Patrick from his show, he picked them to win as well. There was a couple of people that picked them to win, so I wasn't the only one. But, damn, I was wrong. They had no fight.
Right, and that's kind of, you know, it's kind of odd, man. You know, Coach Campbell, right? Is that his name? Right? I don't want to get my marker. Coach Campbell, former player in this league, so he kind of knows how locker room. You know, what I'm saying he's been on both sides of the table, right? Both sides of the equation. He's been a player, now he's assistant, and now he's the head coach, right? So, you would think you'd have, you know, some better mental preparation going into the game. Nobody wants to see them going 0-17. Okay. But they're halfway there, right? 0-8. More than halfway, right? You know what I'm saying? So I get it, Brandon, that you don't have the type of talent. They don't have real talent. I shouldn't say that. I don't want to get in trouble. They don't have starting caliber talent at key critical positions, especially on defense, and they might have a quarterback whose heart might be into football, but his head's not into football. You know what I'm saying? And you got to have both if you want to be successful in this league. But I do question the talents that they have. I've some of my, you know what I'm saying, Lions friends and other, you know what I'm saying, other people about them potentially getting the number one or number two pick. And they just assuming to keep it, considering it's going to be the kid from Oregon. the defensive back. I don't want to jack up his name either, but Google him, defensive back from Oregon. Oh, my God, what he can bring to a team. But they need more than just that.
Thibodeau.
I know. I kind of terrible to talk about next year, and we ain't got through, you know, say halfway with the halfway part next. But that's what they need. So I, you know, what I'm saying, I would, you know, saying, remember when I know, you know, talk about yesterday. Remember when Jimmy Johnson first got hired with the Dallas Cowboys and came in and he evaluated the team, and yes, they had Herschel Walker, you know, what I'm saying, All-Pro running back, you know, what I'm saying, and everybody was like crazy that you thought it was crazy that he traded him to Minnesota for all those picks. And then, you know, two Super Bowls later under Jimmy Johnson, and three altogether in the 90s, you know what I'm saying, to that they can credit that to why they won a Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? Now, I ain't saying the Detroit Lions is getting ready to win a Super Bowl in the next 10 years. You know what I'm saying? But they do have a talent disparity. And you can only coach them up so much, and I think that's the reason why they just kind of quit, because they knew – I mean, they're just better talent. On the other side, there's just better talent on the other side of the ball. Oh, man. Brandon doesn't like that answer.
No. That's the timer. We're done with Detroit Lions talk on an 0-8 team.
Oh, I got you. Well,
that's enough.
About they go 0-17 for sure.
Boy, I know we might have to dedicate a whole show at that point. All right. Let's go to the big finale. Excuse me. The big one. Trick or treat Sunday. Big divisional game. Already lost one on the road at their place. The Colts in prime position to pick one up from Tennessee at home. Started out, John, you couldn't have asked for a better start. 14-0 before Tennessee knew what the hell smacked them in the mouth. And Tennessee battles back. A huge play. A.J. Brown just being A.J. Brown, doing his thing. And we go to overtime. And, my God, John, do I have to start every week show that we talk about the Indianapolis Colts and say, when the hell is Carson Wentz going to quit throwing a stupid underhand or a little flick of a pass? Because it screwed him again. And then in the overtime, he just tried to do too much. And good Wentz, bad Wentz, another pick costed them. And the Colts now are down three games to the Titans for first place. Happy enough. Chance for the division for the Colts.
Yeah, man, I'm going to try to, you know what I'm saying, cover my, you know what I'm saying, and say I told you so. But, you know, not try to say I told you so about Carson Wentz. We'll use your analogy, good Carson Wentz, bad Carson Wentz, because up to now he's played good. Still, there's some outliers out here, man. Like, again, they were – while he was playing good, on the way to playing good, they still were like dead last in red zone efficiency, right? They have since the couple wins that they've kind of put underneath their belt, they've moved up from dead last to like fourth from the bottom, right? But what's their excuse? You know what I'm saying? The teams that's underneath them, Detroit, Washington, you know what I'm saying? I think who else is on the Giants? You know what I'm saying? All those QBs technically. All those QBs on those teams, you know what I'm saying, we have a better quarterback. We have better quarterback play. We have better, you know what I'm saying, I don't know about Ron Rivera, you know what I'm saying, probably better coach than Frank Wright. But, again, you know what I'm saying, on the field is kind of where everything kind of happens, right? So we have better quarterback play than Carson. We have better quarterback play than the three of those teams that we are in front of. So again, he's the guy that majority handles the ball outside of the running back, right, and you know what I'm saying, and the wide receivers and the tight ends that he throws to. So again, like this game that they lost is totally on him. Again, like you said, hot out the gate, Pittman Jr., two touchdowns early. But it seemed like Brandon, there was like, we kind of fizzled. We moved the ball around, and then the second quarter came, and we they didn't add on to the league when they had an opportunity to do so. And so, you know, a team like Tennessee. Even though the Colts did their due diligence and did corral for the most part of the day Derrick Henry, right? A team like Tennessee is just not going to go away. You know what I'm saying? They're built to sustain a little bit more than a 14-0 lead. That's only two scores technically, right? You know what I'm saying? Two touchdowns.
Right.
So they got back into the game, and once they got back into the game, you know, kind of like, okay, it's Rap City. Here we are, back again. All right, who's got the biggest you know, who's got the biggest, you know, I don't want, you know, who's got the biggest, you know, on the table that they can get the win. It's just sad from my lens because we got good effort out of Jonathan Taylor. Good effort out of Pittman Jr. You lost T.Y. unfortunately, probably for another 2 weeks, if not the season. I mean, I'm not going to say the season because I think he'll be back. But, like, again, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? T.Y. Hill's not going to be a coach too much longer.
Carson Wentz should be throwing 50-some times in the game, especially when the run game's working out.
So people are going to lose their mind about that, though, Brandon. Here's why. Because Jonathan Taylor, we don't want to overuse Jonathan Taylor. Because like the overutilization of a player might lead to what happened with Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's mm-hmm. out for the season, right? And that's he ain't only the Tennessee Titans MVP. He's probably a candidate for league MVP. You know what I'm saying? Or was up to this point. So they've utilized the other running backs. You know what I'm saying? But again, man, you know this is the air mount kind of fit. This is the air mount kind of. You know what I'm saying, league that we're in. Is it not?
Correct, but that's not what the Indianapolis Colts are. This team is not made up for air it out. This team, I believe it, John, isn't their mantra run the damn ball? And the stats prove if Jonathan Taylor is getting 4, 5, 6, 7 yards a clip, why the hell are you only running it maybe 15 to 20 times per game total?
Yeah, that might kind of go to some of the arrogance on the coach. Right, we can kind of point to that as well, but like I said, dude, Brandon, the coach and this quarterback are tied at the hip. I said that since the season started. You know, they're not going to sit him. I know that's what people are kind of chiming in talking about. They're going could they sit him? I know Doyle said something crazy. He wrote an article and saying Coach Nation kind of came after him. Doyle from the Indiana Star kind of wrote and Coach Nation kind of came after him talking about should the coach sit. Oh, no, he said it's time for the coach to sit him. But that's not going to happen. He's good enough to, good enough to get you fired. But he's good enough, when he's playing, with his head on straight. And he didn't have his head on straight on Sunday, but he's good enough to win games. I'm noticing a pattern here. Like, man, we're good enough. I'm going to put it to basketball phrase, man. We're good enough to beat the Orlando Magic. We're good enough to beat the New Orleans Pelicans. So we're good enough to beat some sub-dwelling teams when you talk about, Miami Dolphins, right? But to beat upper echelon team like the Titans, like potentially coming up the Buccaneers, I don't necessarily know if the coach as a whole are good enough to beat those kind of teams.
Right. So as I said, it's a tough hill for the Colts if they want to. Is it 100% they're not going to win the division? No, it's not. And, Craig Ryan, you're absolutely right. With the Henry injury, the Titans are going to have to hopefully fix it. Either AP, the running back by committee that they might do down there, but they still have Julio Jones and A.J. Brown there with Tannehill. So they might be a force. But here's the thing with them. I heard it today on Dan Patrick's show. For the Colts to win the division, realistically, the Titans would have to finish now, John, 2-7. Hear me out. 2-7 in their final 9 games. Mm-hmm. Indianapolis would have to, and think about it, they would have to flip at least 2 of their potential losses into wins. So I'm already giving them the 2 wins. I'm giving them, quote-unquote, let's say for this scenario, Jets, Jacksonville, Houston.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Jacksonville again. Yeah. So there's 4, okay? And then you've got then you have to figure out where you're going to flip these wins from. You're at Buffalo, you're home against Tampa, you're home against New England, and you're at Arizona, and you're home against Vegas. I can see you maybe flipping 1 or 2 the way this team's playing now, but I think realistically the division's out of reach. Now they just got to try to focus on making it to trying to get one of those wild card spots since there's that extra spot again this year. I just think it's too hard for them to flip that and have Tennessee completely fall off the works. And I know Derrick Henry's MVP candidate, but also these are professional athletes, and they'll find ways. Vrabel and them will find ways to adapt and change And you're bringing in a future Hall of Famer who's on the last leg of his career to see if he can maybe add a little bit to kind of open up the passing gates a little bit more for A.J. Brown and Julio and them. So, but it's a brutal schedule, John. Jets, Jaguars, Buffalo, at that Buffalo, Tampa, at Houston, New England, Arizona, Vegas, and Jacksonville. That's not the easiest when you're right now at 3-5, 12th AFC.
I like when you say, well, they gotta take care of, you know what I'm saying, what they can take care of day to day, week by week. So,
and I don't think this week's not gonna be easy. Jets are playing well. They've got this quarterback that's coming out of the woodwork. And
he's out of the woodwork. Brandon, he's out of the woodwork, and he's feeling real cocky. He threw for 3 touchdowns, but he also had 2 interceptions. Okay? I'm not buying. It's Jets hype. You better stop listening to Greenberg Show, because that's what's driving.
I don't listen to that guy. You kidding me?
But like,
two people I don't listen to, him and Clay Travis.
Usually, these really beaming type of quarterbacks, it's not necessarily sustaining. But they can't. But like I said, the Colts have to handle their business, make this quarterback look like a rookie, and you know, understand that, like you said, like our homie Craig Ryan said, run the ball. You know what I'm saying? That's the reason why they didn't trade the running back today. The reason why they didn't trade him is because, like, dude, you want running back insurance. In case, you know what I'm saying, Jonathan gets hurt or Jonathan is over, you know what I'm saying, overused. So, nah, man, I say run the ball. But, again, like I said, man, you got to get a connectivity with your receivers, he's gotten better with that. But, like, your tight ends, too, you know what I'm saying? It can't just be more Ali Cox up there. It's got to be, you know what I'm saying, the other players on the team, other paid, big-time players on the team. And, like, right now, you got to stop making these boneheaded. You're like, dude, you're not Patrick Mahomes. So,
what did you think of the end zone throw?
I said the end zone throw
late in the game where he said in the press conference, I was just trying to throw it all away. Well, you throw it towards the ground, not up higher into the air, which is what he did for that pick six that pretty much sealed it. And it looked like it was going to seal it for Tennessee there late in the fourth quarter. I think when you text me, you just said bastard. I think that's what you. I about spit on my drink when you said that. Oh man, he is just. Is there anything worse than your defensive lineman getting an interception and then running it and then fumbling it, giving the ball back to Tennessee, but yet then you're out. You have a season-ending injury. That was a double whammy. There for the Colts. And the guy that his name is skipping my mind for the second. I don't know why. I can't think of his name, John.
Plays for who?
The Colts.
Play for the Colts? Taiwan, you talking about?
Brutal.
Yeah.
Tell me if you heard this before. T.Y. out again, another concussion. I won a bet with a guy at work when T.Y. first came back, said, he's back for the whole season. I said, the dude's going to be hurt a couple more times. It's time to call it a wrap. I'm sorry, John. It is with him. Even the great Miles Turner couldn't will the Colts to a victory there when he was hitting that little anvil to be hashtag Colts forward on Sunday. And it was a half-ass hit, John. He ain't committed to this city. Come on. He wants out of here.
Stop.
But we'll get to that later.
Stop it.
We'll get to that later. Derrick Henry, surgery. Out. I haven't heard the timetable, if it's the entire season or he might be back for late in the playoffs, but you got to think Tennessee now probably, oh, what, 4 seed at least, 3 or 4 seed probably is what they'll end up being in the AFC, with ever-changing AFC, I should say.
What happens? So the hardest division that's going to kind of come down to the wire. It's probably going to be AFC North. Baltimore is not necessarily – they're number one right now, but they ain't necessarily sitting pretty in the driver's seat. You know what I'm saying? There's like a game. Everybody's like a –
one game up on the Bengals, or a half game up on the Bengals,
who
had a dud of a game.
Steelers is 4-3. You talk about dud of a game, but you know what I'm saying? They had to play it. But in Cleveland's 4-4. That's not a shot at the organization.
That's like a little bit of a shot.
That's not a shot at the organization. That's just a shot at the game. Like, dude, you know, a 3-3 halftime score? Come on, man. You know that was not.
Well, hey, you know, that's AFC North football, John. You know that.
Yeah.
That's AFC North football.
Go ahead, Brent. It's probably a game breaker shouldn't have played. Beyond.
Once again, the game breaker, the money maker himself, T.J. Watt earning that contract, causing a huge fumble on Jarvis Landry late in the game. Baker definitely should not have been playing. Now you got continued beef between Odell Beckham and Baker and the Browns, and Odell's dad's putting out Instagram videos of him being wide open today.
Yep.
As a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, you got to love that. Team's playing well. 4-3. I said 9-8 this year. We're well on the way to where I said thought we would be. Running game was okay.
Well, I thought the Bengals are still a young team. They're not used to success. So, you might potentially see more attrition. You might see more of them sliding back. Baltimore, again, not necessarily a young team. They found ways to win, but they also found ways to collapse as well. You know, and as they get further down their schedule, their schedule gets tougher. And you know, what I'm saying you're looking at way more potential. So I really don't know where the wild card, even the extra wild card, you know, so the extra, you know, same game is going to kind of come into play. Denver was telling everybody today in trades. I'm surprised they kept Teddy Bridgewater. To be honest with you. The Chiefs, they ain't the same Chiefs, even though they won last night. You know, so that still ain't the, you know, so nobody.
Barely.
You're not scared to play the Chiefs at home, at Arrowhead or at your place at all. The Chargers, you know, what I'm saying, Herbert, come on, man. We were like 3 weeks ago. Everybody thought he was, you know, the second coming, and Waters kind of found his level with his team. Vegas has a multitude of problems, you know what I'm saying, with who's going to be the coach and, you know what I'm saying, that mess. And now with the player with a DUI, with a manslaughter DUI on his record. So, again, a lot of distractions there.
His career, Henry Ruggs, his career is pretty much over now, I would think.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, some of these teams are good enough to still make the playoffs, obviously, Baltimore, Vegas, but Buffalo, of course, will still be there at the, you know what I'm saying, in the end. New England, no. Jets, definitely not. Miami, no.
I think New England can make a run. I do.
They because of the coach and because of the system and because of some of the vets, but their quarterback still is wet behind the ears.
They just went and traded for a veteran wide receiver and got Brandon Cooks back.
Yeah, he's shown some moxie, so I don't want to take that nothing away from there, but, like, you asked about trying to figure out if the Colts can leapfrog any of these teams with their one-loss record, and I say, you know what I'm saying, based on who they got to play, and based on some of these other teams, who they got to play, and I'm going to say no. So,
right.
We shall see.
Talked about already with the Steelers, they traded Melvin Ingram, who they signed for a cheap contract. He played one game and played very, very well in Buffalo and then didn't start the rest of the way. Traded him today for a 6th-round pick. He was kind of pissed with his playing time and coming off the bench in the second unit, but, you know, he's not better than the guys that are in the first unit. And, you know, Tomlin said, hey, we want volunteers on this team, not hostages. So they said, up and see ya. We'll send you to Kansas City there, which is kind of – it's funny he said that, John, because that's the same phrase he used back in 2017, I think it was, or 2018. I think it was 2017 back with Le'Veon Bell. Was we want volunteers, not hostages there. So, but Mike Tomlin, big AFC North victory again, John. It's Steeler football. And I like the schedule coming up. I don't know if you've seen the Steelers schedule coming up, but it's favorable to kind of make a run towards the AFC North. Let me give you the next four games. For them, it's their home next Monday night against the Bears.
Okay.
And kind of what team you're going with there. I know Justin Fields had a kind of a good game this past week with the fact that Nagy didn't coach. Then they're at home the following week again against the Lions. So We have that, but if we lose to the Lions there, oh, God.
Oh. They won't be losing. They won't be losing that.
Yeah, and then we've got a Sunday night game against Chargers at Los Angeles, and then we're at the Bengals. So easily could win. I say at least two, should be at least three out of the next four. That's going to put you right there at least seven and four through 11 games it could be. Plenty more to tell in there, and they're kind of going on their way. So, like I said, 9-8, I think, is where they'll be. Switching over to the New Orleans Saints, man. They have Tom Brady and the Buccaneers as number.
Surprise.
My God, Sean
surprise,
Payton.
Surprise.
Yeah, Sean Payton just can't he doesn't lose on holidays, John. He's undefeated on Christmas, Thanksgiving, Halloween, and New Year's in his career with the Saints. And the Saints defense, you know, I thought the Bucs were still going to win. I thought that Brady was going to lead another drive. And then the pick six, my God, that place just erupted on that pick six. Ended up costing me a fantasy that week because I lost by one. But Jameis, John, on a horse collar tackle, Jameis tears his ACL out for the year. Still can do his TikTok dances in the locker room, which I thought was cool, on crutches. Mm. But now, you know, Taysom Hill's starting to come back. He didn't play this past week. You had, my God, Trevor Siemian, John, bring him back from the Bronco days in there. They kind of led the team against the Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. And then today you have the talk where is there a possible Phillip Rivers and New Orleans Saints connection for the rest of the season? Rivers said earlier this season he'd be willing to play for a playoff team if it came to the right time.
Oh,
so,
my God.
What's your thoughts on the kind of the Saints situation?
It was a game that I didn't believe had any merit. I was like, dude, I'm not going to watch this game. I said it is just beyond, and I'll just, you know, say I'll be stuffing bags of candy, you know what I'm saying? I didn't put any type of anything into it at first, and then, you know, saying the defense of the New Orleans Saints showed up. You're talking about Brandon, if you had told me that Tom Brady would throw for next to like 375 yards and have like four touchdowns, I'd have told you that they probably would have, that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers probably would have won 40-13, something crazy, even though that don't necessarily equate to 40, right? But they, you know what I'm saying, the Saints found a way to win. You can credit that to the team that they put together down there. You can credit that to the coach. And because, again, we're talking about a third-string quarterback that made the, yep. I mean, that made the throws. And there was Trevor Siemian that made the throws and was prepared to play and then stepped up for his opportunity. You know what I'm saying? So you have to obviously tip your hat to him. It turned into a game that I could not turn away from. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I was like, dude, they ain't win this damn game. You know what I mean? And because we are, for how many weeks are we away from? And I'm not saying the Saints have had a terrible, they haven't necessarily been on anybody's radar. But how many weeks are we away from when they blank Green Bay? You know what I'm saying, in week one, you know what I mean? Right. But, like, again, they kind of just, you know what I'm saying, rose to the occasion. And now they put themselves nipping at the heels, like, a half a game behind Tampa Bay for the division. You credit that organization for being prepared week in, week out. That's the way you want your – even if – I'll be honest with you, that's something that you should – I know the Saints a couple years ago got into that whole damn gate. You know what I'm saying, situation where they were the player targeting, and you know what I'm saying, but that's kind of where you want your organization to run. You know what I'm saying, have every man prepared from the quarterback to the running, you know what I'm saying, to the special teams and then everything. You want everybody prepared, you know what I'm saying, just in case, you know what I'm saying, our star quarterback or our star, you know what I'm saying, running back isn't available, you know what I'm saying, you want to have, you know what I'm saying, have all your everything crossed and everybody, like I said, prepared. And I you know what I'm saying, some teams, everybody, like I said, Brandon, I walked away with a different perspective of the Saints. I really did.
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting. I know people have talked, and, you know, Tamika kind of responded, thank you for following us, Tamika. Somebody should go pick up Cam. I think it'd be easy. Yeah, let's send Cam there. I don't know if he'd fit that system. You know, I know Jameis and Cam, you can kind of put, but I think Jameis is a way better arm is way less mobile than Cam Newton. I don't know if that's something that Peyton would want to go in there and kind of bring a guy in the middle. Go ahead.
The biggest thing with Cam would be, like, again, we're not here. Some idiot, a New England Patriot, former player said Cam is, you know what I'm saying, the hip-hop. And, dude, hip-hop's a culture, you know what I'm saying? So if you got a problem with Cam listening to rap music, then you need to say that. I think what people are kind of concerned about with Cam is that, is he more wanting to be an entertainer, a me kind of guy? And you know what I'm saying? There's spots, you know what I'm saying? Because, again, man, Cam shows up, and it's the fashion. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's the red carpet when he, you know what I'm saying, when he walks in, you know what I mean? Or is he here to handle his business? It looks like the Saints want to go to the Super Bowl. Brandon, they have two big wins. They beat the Green Bay Packers week one.
Stop
they
it.
Beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Something this past week. Dude, they want to go to the Super Bowl. I'm not saying it's going to happen. There's some other teams they got to
hide behind a fake name forever. Just you're a fraud. Just stop.
Okay, hold on. All right, Brandon, you think them in Dallas, who's better?
Dallas.
Even with Dak Prescott health. Well, with that
Dallas.
With Dak Prescott health. Okay, but taking the factor that Dak Prescott is probably.
He'll be 90%
fine. And not 100%. He'll
Dallas.
Be fine. Okay. Then you also throw in the Rams. Are they in a panic mode with these? You know,
nope.
Would they overpay for Von Miller?
Yeah, they didn't overpay. They always trade their draft picks.
They always trade their draft picks. I get it. And I said they give zero Fs about draft picks, but like a second rounder, you probably could have got Von Miller for a fourth rounder, be honest with you. Or could have waited
probably,
for a cut.
They probably wanted a little bit more, I would think, on that. So
I would still say the Rams
over the Saints. I would still take the Packers over the Saints, even though they beat them week one. And Rodgers and the Packers look great ever since that week one. Everybody lays a leg once in a while. Look at this league. So I would take the Packers over them. I would take the Bucks still over them when it comes to the playoff game. Let's see. Who else would I take? Cardinals
Arizona,
over
the one. You don't believe in Arizona. Mm. Don't tell me you believe
that's
it.
The one. That's
Arizona.
The one where I'm not sure. I don't know
that's
if I would take
you're
that
not sure.
One.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to think of anybody else. In the East, no.
No.
North, Vikings, no. Bears, no. Lions, no. South,
well, the Vikings.
You don't believe in the Panthers or Falcons, so no. Yeah, I mean, I guess everybody, well, 49ers, no. Seahawks, with a healthy Russ. Healthy Russ, I might take them over the Saints, as long as it's played in Seattle. I guess the only one would be the Cardinals.
Wayne, none of those teams, the tail end, they ain't gonna, none of those teams going to be in playoff contention. Just like I said, the scary teams, you know what I'm saying, they should be on – some of the teams should be on notice, I'll be honest with you, after that win that the Saints had against Tampa Bay. Some of these teams that are 7-1 or leading their division should be on notice.
Okay. Let's see. Give me one second here. I'm reading something. We talked in a little bit. We glossed over it today. Just tragic news out of Vegas with Henry Ruggs, wide receiver for the Raiders. DUI and manslaughter killed a person on the overnight. So he has been booked into the jail. And you got to believe, John, his career, I think, you got to believe it's over. I mean, first and foremost, you know, just the drinking and driving part, but then, you know, actually killing somebody doing it. And, you know, in the state of Nevada, it carries a sentence of between 2 years and 20 years. And then Nevada state law says if you are convicted that there must be jail time served, no bond, no parole, or not parole, excuse me, no bond or no probation there. So that's jail time he would have to serve. So you got to feel,
right.
With that going on there. But it baffles me, and I talked about it with a group of buddies of mine today on text chain. The NFL Players Agreement, when you become an NFL player, John, you get an NFL PA card. And on the back of that card, it's got your player number, and it's also got a phone number to call. It's a ride service that the NFL provides to its players, current and past, their alumni as
right.
well. Anytime, 24/7, 365 days, if you need a ride, call this number, the NFL and the Players Association, they will come and pick you up and take you where you need to. It was put into the last, or I think it was two times ago when they did the Players Association agreement with the union. That was put in there. The fact that, and you know, I looked into a little bit more today. Yes, you know, you get to decide what type of town car. It's like an Uber service, basically, what they're doing. But it costs the players at least $90 for that ride. But, I mean, my God, you're an NFL player. $90 don't mean jack to you for that. It just baffles me, John, when you see, I see all these cases and just how easy and how rich you are. The fact that you can get a ride, you got a number, you can call in the back of the card, you're rich. It comes out to like a $5 cab ride, or a $3 cab ride for us, what it would be compared to them. And it just doesn't, this guy's 22 years old, 23 years old, and he just threw it all away.
Threw it all away. You know, I can't even add. I mean, you brought out A, B, and C on everybody, man. I kind of known about that for a while, that the NFL kind of looks out for its players in that regard. It's just unfortunate. I know, you know, saying drunk driving is something that that's not taken lightly with anybody's state, with any, you know what I'm saying, and with anybody's state jurisdiction, man. So again, I don't know, Brandon. You know what I'm saying? It's sad on both cases, man. We know his name. We don't know. You know what I'm saying? We don't know the persons that, you know what I'm saying, that are affected by this. The families that were affected by this. But like I said, it's sad. And, you know what I'm saying, unfortunately, you know, it's probably going to continue into the news cycle, you know what I mean? And, you know, he is a kid that kind of showed some promise this year, you know what I mean? And like you said, it's gone.
Yep. I want to do quick ad reads, John. We'll go get our ad reads in a little later tonight. So let me get through here if I can find them.
Yeah.
A couple ad reads. We come back, we're going to dive right into to college football. Or we can actually wait to college football. But let me ask you this, John, before we do it. Do you want to do the college football next, or do you want to dive into it 7 o'clock when the actual new the first set of college football rankings for the college football playoff come out? Because they come out at 7.
We can talk about that at 7. So we can talk a little basketball in between time because, you know what I'm saying, Pacers is a hot topic. So, yeah, let's go with the ad read,
okay,
and we'll come back and talk a little basketball.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Yeah, John, we also want to thank our sponsors, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created, dreams are born. Specialized in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, trucks, and cars. Offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today at MavericksCustomMotorsports.com. As I said, they ship worldwide. No matter if you're in Dubai, if you're up in Carroll County, if you're over in Los Angeles, if you're down at Broad Ripple, they will ship to you worldwide. They do custom motorcycle builds, custom audio accessory installs, LED lighting on that car. Perfect for the Christmas time. Not only is your tree shiny, but your car will be bright as well. They do custom wheels and more. They carry all the top brands and more. Check them out today, MaverickMotorsports.com, or give them a call, 833-SHOT-MAV. That's 833-746-7628. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you.
And we also want to thank you. Thanks, Ed. Give a great thank you to our newest sponsor, Wiseman Logistics. Wiseman Logistics is an Amazon delivery service partner. They're a team dedicated to the successful delivery of your packages 7 days a week, 5 days a year. And guess what? They are hiring. So if you're looking for a job, anybody, they're hiring for drivers. They're also hiring for a warehouse help. Anybody looking for a job, within the sound of my voice, go to WisemanLogistics.com. That's Wiseman, WISEEMEN, Logistics.com. I'm not going to spell it all the way, but Wiseman with an E instead of an A. WisemanLogistics.com. Apply for a job there, or you can give them a call at 1-877-744-6212. That's Wiseman Logistics, now hiring.
All right. Thank you to all three of our sponsors. John, I want to dive into the association a little bit. Indiana Pacers. I'm very humble at the beginning of the show when I said, hey, I was hand up. I was wrong with the Detroit Lions when I picked them and everything, yada, yada. But damn it, people, when I say something on Twitter and I say it on this show about a month and a half ago, and it came right, John, I said, do not be surprised when the Indiana Pacers start out at 1-5. Can you tell me, John, what they started out of before, just right before a couple games ago? I believe it was, what, 1-5?
This is the worst. Well, listen, they ain't like they haven't been in some of these games. You know what I'm saying? Some of these games have been over. Some of these games, there's no more of
it. It doesn't make you in the playoffs for being close.
Well, let's understand that. The playoffs don't start in 3 weeks from now, and there's a lot of teams that water's going to find its level. So if you believe that the Lakers or even the Brooklyn Nets, who are kind of both of them middling around 500, are going to stay there at 500, you know what I'm saying? We're going to have some greater debates, you know what I'm saying? If you believe that right now, I do believe the Milwaukee is under 500. You know what I'm saying? Your prediction of them finishing second or potentially second or first, you know what I'm saying? We're going to have to recant all that. So, again, all these teams, there's still time for the Pacers and potentially anybody else who's kind of been a middling team, kind of like the other Pacers have kind of been, to kind of correct their chances to get their season together. So, again, you know what I'm saying? We got to understand that. And I know me and you kind of share our thoughts or whatnot on Crossroads Sports on Twitter and on Three Foolishmen on Twitter. But I'm not giving anybody out, especially Miles Turner, a great defensive player that he is. He at times tends to be invisible, right? Invisible on the offensive end. You can't go score 40 one night and then, you know what I'm saying, follow the next three or four nights with three, four. I'm not that there, but more than he's got to score more than four, but like 7 points, 8 points, 9 points. You know what I'm saying? You can't be invisible on offense. You got to be a contributor. I know you had some issues with Holiday. I'm gonna give Holiday a little bit of a break here. Holiday.
Justin
Holiday plays for the Justin Holiday. Justin Holiday. Holiday that we do have. You got to understand, Grant, him, McConnell, and even to a degree, Durante, right? On a veteran laden team or a championship team, they probably all be reserves, right? So that means some of these. I mean, it's great that, you know what I'm saying, that the rookie is a gamer he don't look like no rookie. He's like a second or third year player, right? You know what I mean? But you said we got Holiday and McConnell, you know, saying playing starters minutes. They're really not starters, okay? If you remember, we got McConnell off. He was third stringer in Philadelphia. You know what I mean? Third string point guard in Philadelphia. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know, I'll be honest with you, if Wanamaker, if my knees were still good, like I was 25, I think me and Wanamaker might be a tie. You know, and the stats I used to put. The stats I used to put up at the Field Sports Bill, at Field Sports and Ball State and Lifetime Fitness up in North Carolina. I think me and Wanamaker might be at that. But like, nah, man. So I see what Kevin Pritchard has put together. I also see why they haven't traded Miles Turner. I still believe, Brandon, that they are evaluating Goga Batadze. And to see if they're going to either extend him or potentially trade him for whatever they can potentially get back in return, maybe some help, you know what I'm saying, perimeter defense, because that's what this team kind of struggles at, you know what I'm saying? Perimeter, you know what I'm saying, guys being able to close out, not necessarily guys getting their hands on the ball, because McConnell does still, he for a guard of his stature and ability, he does get his hands on a lot of balls as far as, you know what I'm saying, turn or steals and whatnot, but, you know what I'm saying, we don't have great, you know what I'm saying, closed out defense, you know, so, you know what I'm saying, on the floor, especially with Brogdon in or out of it, you know what I'm saying, he ain't, that's not his thing. His thing is scoring, right, and passing. But with all that being said, this team would be different if TJ was playing and if we didn't have, you know what I'm saying, LeVert in and out of the lineup,
It's good that he's back. You can kind of see the potential of what it could be. You can kind of see what the potential could be with him and Durante out there together. You know what I'm saying? And I can see, like I said, I see why they haven't traded Miles Turner. Miles Turner is still when he's initiated. You know what I'm saying? He's still a good, valuable piece of a player. Dude, he had a double-double last night. The night before, he had like nine. The night before, the game they lost, he had like nine rebounds before the half or something crazy like that before the third quarter. Two on the offensive end. You know what I'm saying? That's what you need out of him, but you need that out of him like when you playing games that matter. We can almost kind of compare his situation to Wentz. Like, it's great that you beat the Miami Dolphins. It's great that you put up these great numbers against – great that you put up great numbers against Mo Bamba down in Orlando, Miles Turner. But we need to put up great numbers or decent numbers when you play against the MVP in Giannis. So we need you to put up great numbers against Zion Williamson whenever you play him. You know what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Not waffle, not shrink. Last night, he played up to his ability, and they shared the ball. And the good thing was the outside shots were hitting for the Pacers.
They need to be consistent,
right? Well, here's the thing, though, Brandon. I'm glad you said that. The new NBA says you got to shoot threes. I'm not a fan of it. Right, you know how many times I got frustrated when I would see Brooke Lopez shooting threes, and he's a 7'2", and he's got the advantage on the inside. Yes, he can hit them, but like, dude, like, what are y'all doing? Like, you know what I'm saying? Him and Jan, you know what I mean? So the same thing could kind of be said about, to a degree, about Sabonis and Miles Turner. Like, they should have you know what I'm saying, against Brandon, 90% of the league, they have the inside advantage against any other team. So why don't the Pacers run plays for them more so than having, you know what I'm saying, them shoot three. Hell, what's his name went 1-for-4 last night. I know he went 0-for-3 last night, Sabonis did. That's not necessarily indicative of his overall, you know what I'm saying, you know, three-point proficiency, but, like, that's not his thing. You're making him shoot threes when he's really an inside player. Miles Turner can shoot the three, but he's really an inside player. So why don't we play to our strengths, right? But the NBA, like I said, the new NBA says you got to shoot threes because threes is not more than two, and the more times you get more possessions at shooting threes, the greater chance you have of winning. Again, analytics drives me crazy on all levels of sports, whether it's Major League Football, Major League Baseball, football, or in this regard, the NBA. So I can see why they're not going to just trade Miles Turner for nothing. It's kind of like how Philadelphia's not going to trade Ben Simmons for nothing. You know what I'm saying? What is available out there in trade for a player of Miles Turner the Pacers don't want? I'll be honest with you, Brandon, I'm the most critical of Miles Turner's play. What I've heard is come back in the trade for Miles Turner, I wouldn't want either.
Okay. Trying to gather my notes. what I have here. Number one, I liked the production last night. Yeah, six guys in double figures, balanced scoring last night.
Yep.
I do appreciate that. Secondly, I'm going to say, come on now. I know it's the Spurs. And the Spurs beat the Bucks, the other night. Everybody can say that, yada, yada. But it's also Spurs who are a lower-tier team. As you said, we need to see this production consistently. We need to see it up against the upper echelon teams. I think tomorrow night is a great opportunity with the Knicks coming to town.
Yeah.
That's kind of a first – I guess not a first, but another bar test for us to see just how we stack up against the good teams in the East. And they're going to be good this year. I was telling somebody the other day, I've watched at least a little bit, if not majority, of all Knicks games this year. I have. I just, for some reason, I've enjoyed watching them. I've watched all their games at some point. I watched them the other night against Toronto where it kind of slipped away there in the fourth, but you know, it's going to be an echelon game for the Pacers to kind of see where we're at with this team, with LeVert starting to ramp up now. He played well, but we need consistency. And, you know, Brogdon will be back tomorrow. So now that adds in another piece there. Now, does that take shots away from LeVert? Does it take shots away from Duarte? It's going to. It's definitely going to, because Brogdon, you know, likes to do his little 15, 16-footer pull-up shot that he hits.
Right.
So that will be interesting to see how that – add in that piece now with all of them, how the minutes go and all with them. Where I'm concerned, John, still with Indiana, is going to be our second unit. Our second unit still doesn't – I think we're our second unit still getting out-rebounded consistently based on other teams' second units in there with us. And at that point, you better hope you have a lead by the end of the first quarter, because when that second unit comes in, wherever you have, you freaking have lost. And that's a big concern. So, and I'm tired of people. Well, if we get, you know, if we had TJ Warren, or, you know, if TJ Warren was in that, he's hurt though, but we could be this. I don't give a shit about what we could be. I'm looking at the realistic of what we are. Okay. TJ Warren ain't out there, and I don't know when he's going to be out there. The fact that we're not hearing anything about him, about his recovery or any of that stuff, makes it seem to believe we're not going to have him for the entire season. I heard two reports in the last 3 days, TJ Warren might not play this year. So it's time to get that out of our head. And if he does decide to come back, we don't even know what type of player we're going to get with TJ Warren. I guarantee it's not going to be the bubble. I guarantee that. That was a perfect time, perfect scenario segment for TJ Warren, who stepped up when Domantas Sabonis went out and couldn't finish the bubble. I don't think we're going to get that TJ Warren if he comes back this year. I really don't think he's going to come back. So we have to get that out of our head to say, well, we could be this if we would be there, or we could be the three seed if we have these guys on. Deal with what's realistic. Deal with what's in front of us and what we have. Indiana Pacer fans, you all should know it as much as I do. As soon as we get somebody back from injury, somebody else is down, it seems like. So if we can just try to stay healthy here, we're going to be all right. They've got the new uniforms, John. I like them. The city uniforms coming out tomorrow. A little bit of a homage to the 70s, 80s, and 90s with the script logo, the Pacers, the Flojo down the side. Kind of I got a lot of people retweeting and liking on Twitter today. I went at the Pacers today, John. So they created a cover photo for you to put on your Facebook page or your Twitter account that has all the stuff from the script. All these new jerseys and stuff, like showing the flow people in the Flojos, players and all that stuff, right? Uh-huh. You realize on there, they show everybody and stuff on there wearing those things from the past and everything, but there's no Reggie Miller. I said, how the hell can you put this out here and as your header for the new uniforms and paying homage to the past, and you don't have the greatest Pacer of all time on this? That's a myth, the Pacers marketing and PR team.
The greatest Pacer of all time. You talking about Billy Keller?
Stop it. Stop it. So that's all that is swinging a miss for Indiana. And I actually tagged Reggie on it. I hope he sees it, because I don't know if there's a falling out going on there or whatnot. Hopefully not, but I was shocked
not.
To see
Reggie
it.
Reggie might want to check, you know. There's a possibility in that too, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm sure he still gets.
Well, that's the reason why his jerseys.
Point.
And that's why they don't sell Reggie Miller jerseys in the gift shop. If you've ever wondered why, when you go to the Pacers gift shop, they have Rick Smits, Dale Davis, Antonio Davis, Mark Jackson, Jalen Rose, all those jerseys in there, it's because Reggie wants a cut of that. Reggie wants a bigger cut than what they're going to be willing to give. So also the same reason on your video games, NBA 2K22 and all that, there's no Reggie Miller in the video game. There's
wow.
Charles Barkley in the video game, because these players want a cut of their name and image and likeness more than to do that. And so Reggie got a little side of him that's a little interesting. I kind of did some research on it. I will say this, John. We'll see what we get with Indiana tomorrow night against the Knicks. I'm looking forward to that game. Of course, I'll be watching it. I've looked at tickets to dabble into it. So, it's going to be a good one to see how they do. You got the win against teams that are sucking. So now we'll see if you can do it against ones that are winning. A lot of season left.
Right.
So let's just see what we get with that.
Right.
I want to talk Lakers. I want to talk Carmelo. John, Carmelo Anthony, averaging 17 damn near 17 points a game, shooting 52% from three. He's hit 6 3-pointers each of the last two games. I think this is the type of team where Melo flourishes the most, just to sit there and spot up where LeBron and AD and Russ take the attention to let Melo do Melo's thing. I think this is where I'm a big Melo guy. I have loved what Melo has done with this Laker organization. I think it's a shot off the bench that they need. And on the flip side of that, though, Russell, I saw an interesting stat, John. Russell Westbrook, 0-27 in the fourth quarter this year.
Yeah.
He's not hit a single shot in the fourth quarter yet. And he banged one last night off the top of the backboard. Did you see that and hear the announcers?
I did. Let me handle Carmelo, man. Did Carmelo, should he have got this L.A., you know what I'm saying, to L.A., should he did it like 2 years ago? Would he probably been in a better situation instead of waiting, probably. You know what I'm saying, when, you know what I'm saying? Maybe. I know there was room, you know what I'm saying, there was always type of, you know what I'm saying, circulation that he was ultimately going to join forces with LeBron anyway because they're buddies and whatnot. But no, man, he's been playing real well, bailed the Lakers out a couple games, like as you alluded to. The only thing kind of concerning about Russell Westbrook is that he thinks he's a little bit better than he is. Now, he's a great player, but he has to learn that you're going to have to acquiesce to the system, and that the system being is what, you know what I'm saying, what LeBron wants. LeBron's not going to be, you know what I'm saying, they're not going to sit Russell Westbrook, you know what I'm saying, they're not going to make him the sixth man of the year or anything like that anytime soon, not this particular year. He's still a much-needed player in that regard, but I think it's still a work in progress of getting him comfortable playing with this team. Not necessarily putting up the biggest thing, kind of the eye opening thing for me is high turnover rate that he's had with the Lakers. If he can, regardless of him, you know what I'm saying, 0 for 27 in the fourth quarter, if he can control his playmaking ability and have the great assists and have the great rebound numbers. You know what I'm saying? Him scoring, they got enough scoring on that team, like you said, with Melo, with LeBron, with AD, and with some of the other pieces they have enough scoring that they won't necessarily need Russell to be hitting big time shots in come the fourth quarter.
Okay. And the Lakers got tonight the Houston Rockets again. Rockets play stay there in town. They play them again back to back. So we'll see how that goes tonight. I did like the fact that Jalen King got his stuff blocked by Carmelo, so Melo could still get up and get a block the other night. So that was good to see Melo could still do it. East, John, Boston Celtics have a huge lead at the end of the third quarter against the Chicago Bulls. It unraveled. It fell apart. It fell apart so much that this morning I sent you a quote from Marcus Smart, who's never too shy to speak his mind. And Marcus Smart said after the game last night, quote, "I can only do so much. Just everybody's scouting report makes Jason and Jalen try to pass the ball. They don't want to pass the ball, and that's something they're going to have to learn."
Right. Losing to do this to you, it's not like this has happened. I mean, it's not like this happened to this year, this season. They just happen to be behind the eight ball in the losing column. Jason Tatum has always been the go to guy since he came into the league and started playing for the Celtics. Jaylen Brown has kind of been the more efficient kind of guy that they kind of used as, you know, say a secondary playmaker passer, definitely a secondary force to rebound, and definitely probably I would say, outside of him and Smart, that's 1A and 1B as far as defense is concerned, of guarding the opponent's best player, regardless of position, wing position, not center, you know what I mean? But that's kind of as Brown has developed his outside shot, so too has the green light, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying if it's more Brown's fault or it's more Tatum's fault and why Marcus Smart is upset. Think about it. So we've had a change in coaching, right? So now we got a change in philosophy,
So Smart is upset about them not passing him. Like, dude, well, my secondary reaction, Brandon, was like, dude, ain't he the point guard? The ball's almost more in his hands than it is in theirs. But I do see his frustration. So he's kind of calling out everybody here. He's calling out, you know what I'm saying, two buddy players that he's played with for like over three seasons now. And he's calling out, you know what I'm saying, potentially the coaching staff, you know what I'm saying, that kind of put this new system in, new old system. How about that? You know what I'm saying? It still looks similar, but it's a little different. But like I said, man, Tatum has had a green light since he got to the league playing for the Celtics. He's had a green light, you know what I'm saying? And like I said, Brown has developed his game to where if you go back and look at some of his stats, man, he wasn't he wasn't out there just, you know what I'm saying, launching them, you know what I'm saying, from three. He does that with great, and he's not bad, but at times, so like last night, he had a good shooting night. The night before, he was 5 for 16. And he looked off, you know what I'm saying, he looked off smart, he looked off his, you know, his teammates. So they got to fix it fast in Boston. Brandon, they can't be this team that, you know what I'm saying, Kemba Walker's out now, you know what I'm saying, they got rid of, you know what I'm saying, quote-unquote locker room killer and Kyrie Irving, you know what I'm saying. I'm not saying the Celtics at some point, even in before Danny Ainge stepped down, it's in his mind, you know what I'm saying? It's probably maybe why he stepped down. In his mind, they should probably win a championship by now. You know what I'm saying? Those two guys are in their prime right now. You know what I'm saying? And right now, they're playing with a bunch of pissed off. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure Mark Smart ain't the only one, right? But right now, they're playing with a bunch of pissed off teammates because, again, they get their points at the end of the night, but the teammate, like, you know what I'm saying, that's great, but the team ain't winning. So, you know what I'm saying, something's got to happen. So, you know what I'm saying, when the team used to win and they used to, everybody used to kind of get their shine. So something different's got to happen.
Okay. NBA wise, trying to think of anything else I have. 76ers. There's growing frustrations with the Sixers. The fact that Ben Simmons, he's been there practicing. You know, he's got his mental health stuff going on. But there's growing frustration that while Simmons won't accept off-court help from the team, which even creates more friction there. So Philadelphia continues to Philly themselves. They need to end this immediately if they want to limit their distractions and push forward to try to win a title.
Again, you know what I'm saying, Daryl Morey. He's a guy I would want to play poker with. He's not gonna fold. He's not gonna show you his poker face. And then whatever he wants back in exchange for return for Ben Simmons, he ain't until that some of those levers are answered. You know what I'm saying? Demands are made. You know what I'm saying? Ben Simmons is sick. It's the same a caliber of player. However critical you or I or anybody else might be critical of Ben Simmons' jump shot, he is a high caliber, high octane kind of athlete. He is basketball player. You know what I'm saying? Is there some quirkiness going on in that brain of his and kind of what he wants to be as a basketball player going further? Yes, all those things are true. But again, you know what I'm saying? In order to alleviate some of this distraction, they should have made a deal back in the summertime, regardless of, you know what I'm saying? Then they necessarily wouldn't have this. You know what I'm saying? They could just go, you know what I'm saying, take care of business, go further. Right now, it's not necessarily a saga right now, you know what I'm saying, but it's going to continue to come up the further we get into the season. And, oh, my God, if the closer we get to the trade deadline, it's going to become a major issue.
Yep. Okay. Moving ahead. College football, John. 7 o'clock. The college football rankings are about to come out. The first playoff rankings. Indianapolis, the national championship this year, will be here in our city. Looking forward to that. They're getting ready to unveil the first rankings for the college football playoff. There's a lot of questions going into this. I think, you know, looking at our rankings, and I'll put them up on the board as we're talking, we both in agreeance. Now, my rankings here, John, my top 10 rankings here, aren't exactly what I feel the committee is going to do with the top 25 for the CFP.
Right.
But I think we both can agree, Georgia, unanimous, going to be the unanimous number one for the college football playoffs. Where it becomes interesting for me is this number two. Do they go the safe route and say, hey, you know what, Cincinnati, you're number two in the AP poll. You might have a weak schedule, but you beat Notre Dame and whatnot, and we're going to put you, boom, you're number two. Do they truly believe in Cincinnati being that number two team? Or are they going to put Alabama, move them at Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan State, who had a huge win against Michigan this past weekend, or even Oklahoma? I see any of those teams being that number two seed. Do I think the committee has a chance to where they will have Ohio State and Alabama outside the top four? That way they can play their way in. I think at least one of them. I would have to think that it's probably going to be Ohio State that will be out playing their way in this first ranking. I think Bama's probably going to come in probably number three, I would think. If you had to ask me, John, I do think it's going to be Georgia, Cincinnati, Alabama, Michigan State right now. I think that's how the committee here is going to do their top four. I think Michigan State leaps Ohio State, and then that's where Ohio State, when they play Michigan State this in a couple weeks, that's where they get their shot to put themselves into that top four. Oklahoma-wise, I don't know if they've done enough right now. I know they're looking great with Williams as their quarterback. I think they're probably going to be at that sixth spot. But then there's going to be so much controversy already, and we love controversy, especially with talk shows. They've got Iowa at 22 and Wisconsin at 21. So they've got Pittsburgh at 25, San Diego State at 24, Fresno at 23, Iowa at 22, Wisconsin at 21. What about Oregon? If Oregon's out, John, I mean, at the end of the thing, you have Ohio State 4, Oregon at 5, they both win. You can't put Ohio State in, can you? I know you say the Big Ten's not going to miss out with the Natty Championship here in Indy, but does that take away from the regular season of Oregon coming into the shoe and knocking off Ohio State? That makes it completely irrelevant.
Yeah, everybody needs to get on. Everybody kind of needs to get on the same page, man. Michigan State is a great story and is having a great season. We want to reward winning, right? Of course, I can't. That's a huge leapfrog moment if you put them in the top four. They played some good games. Like I said, they played who's in front of them, and the same thing as Cincinnati. But when I get it why Michigan State would leap forward, because they're the only other undefeated Big Ten. They're the only undefeated Big Ten team. So right now, you know what I'm saying, for a week or 2 weeks, will everybody kind of lose their mind, you know what I'm saying, if that's what happened. Like you said, quote, the Big Ten is not getting penciled out. Even if a Big Ten team loses two games.
But, John, how do you explain to the Pac-12 commissioner, you have an undefeated Oregon team in there, we just beat Ohio State at Ohio State?
Oregon lost the game. They're undefeated against some of these other
– that's right, that's right. That's right, they did. But how are you going to say, we have the same record as them? We beat them in their place. We deserve our shot.
Well, they beat Ohio State, right. They're going to say,
wow.
I'm not that guy. I'm just saying what they're going to say. They're going to say, look at your conference. Your conference is everywhere. Arizona State was up at one point. Now they're down. At one point, UCLA, everybody was, on that train. Now they're down. There's a level of competition where they all beat up on one another. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I thought the same thing could kind of be said about the Big 12. But there you have Oklahoma. You got to remain – if you remain undefeated, you kind of keep yourself clean and out of the controversy, you know?
Yeah. Another set of rankings came out. Minnesota at number 20, NC State 19, Kentucky at number 18, Mississippi State 17, And then the lane train, Ole Miss Rebels, Rebels number 16 after a tough loss at Auburn. Don't sleep on Auburn, by the way. They could beat Bama. All right, the top 15, BYU, John, comes in at number 15. The Aggies at number 14, Auburn at 13, Baylor at 12, and Oklahoma State at number 11.
Uh-oh. That means Notre Dame's going to be in the top 10.
But did he deserve it?
And Wake.
Oh, Wake deserves it. Wake deserves to be in the top 10.
Man, they had a crazy game against Army where they let Army score 50-something points. Come on. I don't know. Wake deserves it. But again, they won their position to win their conference. They got a huge game. Wake has a huge game against, I do believe, Clemson in like 3 weeks. I do believe. I think so. And that,
but
that
don't you have to – you have to reward Wake Forest. My opinion is, John, you have to award Wake Forest.
Sure.
Just as much as you awarded Clemson back when they were beating up on those crappy ACC teams. You can't
say,
off name brand.
Right. But, you know, they also go off – man, you bring up name brand. They also go off, did you win a significant bowl game? I heard this crap today, man. Did they win a significant bowl game in the last 4 or 5 seasons? I'm like, well, dude, we ain't talking about the pros. Like, they got different talent. They got different – I mean, but that's just how this thing works. Did they draw over 2.2 million viewers when they played on a Saturday or when they played – I mean, dude, it's all kind of factors that kind of go into it. People think
–
Brandon, I get into it with my lay friends, most of them basketball heads, right? They say, man, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about when it comes to college football. No, absolutely, you don't know what you're talking about. I have to go back in. I'm like, dude, Notre Dame will get in. I mean, luckily, they don't have 2 losses, but Notre Dame will float around the top 10 because they can draw. You know what I'm saying? And I'm saying that they, you know, outside of the game that they lost against Cincinnati, They played.
Speaking of Notre Dame, Notre Dame is number 10.
There you go. They play their schedule. They play teams from all around the country, from the ACC to everywhere else. Big Ten and everywhere.
They beat North Carolina. North Carolina was a big win. They just had against Sam Howell in Carolina this past week.
Right. They beat Wisconsin. However you want to gauge Wisconsin, if you think Wisconsin's crappy, then I guess Purdue's crappy. But Purdue beat the number 2 team in America. so that's how that rolls out,
right?
You know what I mean,
right? I would think right here at number 9, they would have to probably put Michigan. I would think Michigan at 9. I have Notre Dame at number 9 and Michigan at 10 on mine, I believe. No, I have Wake at 10, Michigan at 9, Notre Dame at 8. They have Wake Forest at number 9.
Wow. Wow, that's a shocker.
So
they
then,
that high in the rankings since Caldwell was there.
Are we? I know, right? Are we in agreement that we would think Michigan would be here at number 8?
Because
they're surely not going to go Oregon
Oklahoma. Not play that bad of a game. They didn't play that bad of a game against Michigan State. Michigan State was just in the second half. They just came back hungry.
Right, but if you had Oregon, Oklahoma, and Michigan, who do you put in at number 8?
Oregon, Oklahoma, and Michigan.
I think it has to be Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan.
So we'll see here momentarily as they're going to announce it. Got to believe that they would have to be in there. I mean, that was I had to look at the score twice because at one point Michigan was up pretty big, and next thing you know, I said, what in the world is going on up in East Lansing? it was shocking to me.
It was real shocking. Offense sputtered. It ain't like, man, McNamara threw for like 300-some-odd yards, and I think he only had like 1 interception. The quarterback from Michigan State played like a man.
Wow. Number 8, Oklahoma. The undefeated Oklahoma Sooners come in at number 8. That means they believe Michigan is better than Oklahoma.
Haters going to hate.
One of my good buddies, Sean Doherty, is a big Oklahoma fan, so I'm sure he is going to be pretty livid. Glory
be
the committee.
Brandon, that doesn't even make sense. Oklahoma should be no worse than 5. If you know what I'm saying, no worse than 5.
I have them at 6 in my rankings.
Right. No worse. Well, I think I got them a little bit higher than that myself.
You have them at number 3.
Yeah. I do. But they,
since
they
we got that wrong,
they
we got,
the
I know, right?
A
lot of people are on Twitter right now saying Oklahoma disrespected. And then are we going to get really weird here in a minute with this?
It is. I mean,
I have to feel like Michigan has to be number seven. Michigan,
Brandon,
if unless they're going to put Oregon here, if they put Oregon at seven and Michigan at six, and then Oklahoma or Ohio State at five, so little brother, big brother.
Yeah.
Wow, this is some great stuff going on right now. We're waiting. So we got to recap. We've got Notre Dame. Say what?
Bama's gonna be number three.
Damn, they might damn near be number two if they really don't want to give any love to the mid to the non-Power Five school. So to recap our listeners right now, Notre Dame at number 10, Wake Forest at 9, Oklahoma at 8, Michigan, the Michigan Wolverines at number 7. They just unveiled it. So Michigan comes in at 7 off the loss to Michigan State. John, that's not too far from, you know, they gave some respect to them after losing to Michigan State on the road. They didn't let them drop too far.
Yep. This is getting really interesting. It's getting real interesting.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Where's my
so
boy, Coastal Carolina?
I had say who?
Where's my boy, Coastal Carolina?
They got beat, John. They got beat by App State. They done.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm going to look at this next, and so we're looking at number six next. So my 6, 5, and are your teams. So I think your four teams for these two spots are Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan State, and Oregon. I have to believe Oregon's probably going to be at number six because nobody really believes right now that Oregon is better than Michigan State, Bama, or Ohio State. Well, even though they beat them, you know.
But damn, they beat right. They beat Ohio State after.
That's what I'm saying. So what do you do if you're a committee member?
Well, what I do as a committee member, they've already jacked it up and put Oklahoma at number 8, which is that's unheard of. Undefeated team from a Power 5. That means you don't have any respect for the teams that they've played. I get it. Kansas is whack, but damn, so is Vanderbilt for the SEC. Okay, so let's be fair. You know what I mean? I'm saying for this slot. Smells like it's going to be either Ohio State or Oregon.
If it is Ohio State, it's setting up perfectly for them because they can still, we have huge games to do. All right, they just unveiled they did the number one. No drama with this one. Georgia, the number one ranking right now.
Shocker
there. I picked them to be the national championship this year. So just to keep reminding everybody, I got the dogs. And, John, maybe Kirby Smart can prove you wrong finally. That's the goal. That Kirby can do it. I feel like they're going to do number two next here, and I don't know. Could they go safe route and put Bama? They could. I don't think they have to. They'll probably just give Cincinnati their love for now. The problem is if Cincinnati keeps on winning, that's going to, you know, that doesn't open it up for discussion for them at the number three or number four spot for somebody to sneak in past them. If they stay locked in at number two, wow, and I'm wrong. Alabama, number two overall, John. The Crimson Tide.
Again, that has nothing to do. You know what, Brandon? That has nothing to do with wins or losses. It has everything to do with how much viewership they get on a Saturday-to-Saturday basis.
Wow.
They lost to an unranked Texas A&M team. Everybody remembers, you know, Bryce Young, he I don't know how many times he ate the turf that day, but for them to leapfrog from like four to number two. But again, here's Brandon. Nobody should be losing their mind. You know why?
Because they're that good.
Number one and number two still got to play one another at some point.
Correct.
So the SEC ain't getting two teams in. I can tell you that right now.
I think they do. If Bama wins – if Bama wins the matchup in the SEC championship with Georgia, both teams are getting in.
Okay, cool. So then the next step would be every other college, every other university is going to go back to vote, and they're going to want an 18 playoff or a 12-team playoff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That would be baloney. I'm not saying Cincinnati can beat Alabama. I'm not saying Cincinnati could beat Georgia, okay? But you put Cincinnati against you put Cincinnati against Oklahoma, I like their chances. You put Cincinnati against Michigan, I like their chances. You put Cincinnati against Oregon, I like their chances.
John, number three just got announced.
Ohio State.
Number three is Michigan State.
Wow.
Michigan State comes in at number three.
Michigan State barely beat IU, man, with a backup quarterback. Again, the Big Ten champion is going to get in, right?
So I'm telling you, are they going to believe it's Cincinnati here? And they got to put them at number four? Are they going to leave them out?
They're going to leave them out. They're going to leave them out.
So your three teams are Oregon, Ohio State, and Cincinnati. Those are going to be the three for 4, 5, and 6. I think you have Oregon at 6, and then it's either going to be Ohio State or it's going to be Cincinnati.
It's
but if you're Cincinnati, John, you're still in a great seat because, you like we said, number one and number two are going to play each other. Wow, number four is Oregon. They did let Oregon with the win against Ohio State. They proved it. So Oregon jumps to number four over Ohio State. Cincinnati is not in the top four. Wow.
So that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Come on, John, let's hear it. What's ridiculous about it?
That's ridiculous, man. Because it goes down to brand names again.
How? They beat them. They beat Ohio State.
Brand
they don't deserve
big,
it?
Big time.
They've beaten more big-time teams than Cincinnati has. It has to come down to strength of schedule for Cincinnati.
Oklahoma,
they have to be.
No. Oregon State is who? That's who Oregon lost to. Oregon State. That's horrible. That's horrible that I had to watch that game.
He said, I just wanted to watch that. I don't know. And they Pac-12's got to get that love. That's what comes down to this committee. You know who's in that committee. It's the old Notre Dame boy, Tyrone Willingham. He's in that committee.
So they're trying to tell me the Pac-12 is better than the – again, I don't believe in none of that.
Yes,
than
the ACC, AAC, yes, it is.
No. Bigger than the Big 12. Better than the Big 12. Better than Texas. Better than Oklahoma.
I don't believe that. No, I don't believe that.
No, they're not. I watch them every Saturday. I get it that – Cincinnati's got – they're going to a quote-unquote cakewalk. But, you know, people can say cakewalk, but I guarantee there's going to be pros from some of those schools on somebody's team next year.
Number five.
Go ahead.
Number five is Ohio State, and number six is Cincinnati.
That's bull. That's baloney. It's baloney, man. It's because they can't draw. It's because they can't draw like – that's the reason why they're going to the Big 12 in 2 years or next year. Because you have to be in one of these, but then you go into the Big 12, but then they don't even show that league no respect. Because I guarantee you, line up a Big 12, you name the Big 12 school versus whatever aside from Kansas. But damn it, Brandon, you got Kansas. I can tell you Arizona in the Pac 12. I can tell you one. Give me whichever Washington school sucks. You feel me? the Pac 12, stop it. USC. Stop it! They fired the coach before the damn season even ended. Man, college football. I mean, again,
how much do you believe in them?
And to who?
How much do you believe in Cincinnati? Let me ask you that. Okay, let me go through this. Do you feel Cincinnati can beat Ohio State?
I just told you who they could beat on a neutral field. Not at the shoe, because guess what? Ohio State will never schedule them. Okay, I know
I'm talking neutral. I'm going through the list.
On
and they beat
field,
Ohio State, neutral field.
You know what? It'd be real close. You know why? They beat – Georgia beat them last year. It's how crazy I am about college football. Georgia beat them by 3 points in a bowl game last year. I know it's a little bit different than Georgia team, but remember, Georgia should have rolled – they should have power rolled since Cincinnati. If Cincinnati is such a punk school, right? 24-21, that was the end result of that bowl game. right? So no, and, on a neutral field, I give Cincinnati a shot against Ohio State, a better shot than any of these clowns that, you know what I'm saying, looking at ratings versus what's actually on the field.
Can Cincinnati beat Oregon?
Absolutely, man. Oregon, dude, I'm losing my mind over here.
That's what the fans love.
Oregon State. If I go back to the first game, the quarterback had to go prime time, so they can stay undefeated to that point. So like, no, Oregon, Oregon and Oklahoma. I said all in the show for the last 6 weeks. They are Oregon, Oklahoma are the two teams in the top 10 / top 5 that are the weakest. From my lens, like they have potential to lose a game here or there. Cincinnati, I'm not saying Cincinnati is a bunch of world beaters by any means, but they walked into the den. They walked into they beat a Big Ten team at home. They beat at their place. I get it was IU, but they still beat IU. They walked into Notre Dame the week after that and beat them at home convincingly, a top 10 team. So I don't know.
Can Cincinnati beat Michigan?
I guess
State?
Alabama. I guess they consider Alabama's win against the Miami Hurricanes a little bit more bigger than that. I guess they figured that who else is in front of Cincinnati right now? Who else? What other little crappy game I can call out for Georgia? Has Georgia already played Vanderbilt? Jesus Christ. So you got me. Come on, man.
Let me ask you this. All right, so I want to talk Cincinnati off the ledge real quick. Let me be the calm.
That's cool.
Let me be the calm voice here while you're the vocal one right now, and I love it, losing your mind.
I like the underdog.
Cincinnati, look at it from this way, bud. You're okay. You don't need right now. You don't need to be in that top four right now. You only need to be in that top four when it comes at the end of the season. So don't worry about it. Look at that bracket right now. You have Georgia and Alabama, right? They're gonna play each other. For your instance, you're going to want Georgia to beat Alabama because then that's going to assure you guys over Alabama unless politics and some slight hand Lucan money comes in from the SEC to say, hey, come on, you really going to leave Alabama out of this for Cincinnati? Come on now. So you need Georgia to win to give you more of a case. Also, then look at the number 3 seed, Michigan State. They're going to be playing in 2 weeks. The 5 seed, who's in front of you, Ohio State. One of those teams is going to fall, obviously lose and fall back of you. So that moves you up another spot.
You mean Michigan State.
Yes.
When you say one of those teams, you mean Michigan State.
Correct. So at that point, you're going to move up another step. So I see 4 teams in that top 6 that are going to be playing each other in the next couple of weeks. So Cincinnati, you still got a good shot. It's not a matter of you can be pissed off and put it as bulletin board material right now. But also, I think the committee, John, looked at it and said, Jesus Christ, you should have beaten Navy by a lot more than what you did. You barely beat Navy. Now, you need style points. They do. We said this weeks ago, if they want to continue to build as they're building, they need to win and put these style points together. They did not do that against Navy. So, to me, it looks like the committee costed them that because it says, hey, damn, you can't. You're showing us that you might not deserve to be in here if you can't put up points on Navy and beat them down. It was a one possession game late in the fourth.
It was. And that's baloney too. I don't believe in style points. You win. If you win by one, you win by 100. It doesn't really matter. It counts as a win. But again, we can nitpick at that top four, but it's kooky because these dudes are telling me the Big 12 ain't crap. That's what they're telling me. And I'm telling you, the Big 12, I told you last week, don't believe in Texas, but they had some key wins, right? They have. But the Baylors of the world, the Oklahoma State, you know, those are some teams that outside of Georgia, I would say, hey, man, I don't know. I wouldn't bet my money on them going against anybody, you know what I'm saying, on a neutral field. You know what I'm saying? It would be hard-pressed for me to say, you know, what Ohio State could do against Oklahoma, right? That whew, my goodness, that'd be a barn burner, would it not? But again, to have them, Oklahoma's ranked, what, 8? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. So we have a list of ridiculousness it ain't just the fact that you left Cincinnati out. We know why you left Cincinnati out. It's because they don't draw. That's okay. We know why you put Notre Dame into the top 10, because they can draw. But again, Pac-10, Big 12, it's got to be a Big 12 conspiracy. Got to be. We know the Big 12 is supposed to fold. You know what I mean? Now you're doing the due diligence for a twofold.
We cannot wait for Jonathan Birdsong to light up Facebook tonight with his takes, especially on Crossroads' Facebook account and his Twitter account, folks. So let me ask you this.
Go ahead, man.
This could be the most asinine thing I've seen. If Alabama, there's a scenario this could happen, and it would be completely wild. Alabama beats Georgia in the SEC championship, right? So they come out with the final AP. Yeah, they come out with the final AP poll, and has Cincinnati at number one in the AP poll because they're undefeated. It has Alabama at number two, Georgia at three, and whoever at four. But the playoffs come out, and Cincinnati, who finished number one in the AP poll, is not in the top four. That's the scenario that could happen. That would be wild.
Wait a minute, Brandon. I just thought about something. You said something about style points. Georgia's the number one team in the nation, right?
Correct. And I know what you're going to say.
Did they blow out Clemson?
No.
They did not.
I'm
just saying, they didn't. So, again, it's all baloney. It is. It ain't about winning. Purdue, I'll be honest with you. I use some teams close to home. Purdue could be 7-1 right now. Could be. I know they ain't. Could be 7-1. They can't draw. They'd be number 11. And on the logic on this poll, they'd be number 11 because they didn't play nobody. Baloney.
The Birdsong, ladies and gentlemen. Never seen him more heated than the first college football poll that comes out. So let me give you – I wrote down some notes as you were talking, just some thoughts that I think.
Gotcha.
Number one, the ACC or the Big 12 champ, I believe, is most likely not getting in.
Wow.
That's going to be interesting to see there. It's also embarrassing that UTSA, University of Texas, San Antonio, the Roadrunners, who are undefeated, aren't even in the top 25. Aren't even in the top 25. But we've got two lost teams in these top 25. And this team is in the top 10 for points scored and offensive efficiency this year. Number three, my third one, is Cincinnati's got work to do, John, because if Wake Forest or Oklahoma went out, they're going to jump them. Think about it like that. If Oklahoma or Wake Forest went out, the ACC and Big 12, they are going to jump Cincinnati unless they get those style points, because their schedule does not look sexy the rest of the way.
No, there's no more style points for them. They'll beat everybody else there on their schedule by two touchdowns. Now, if you want them to beat them by four touchdowns, that's baloney. You're going to potentially get somebody hurt. That means it ain't about winning, okay? That's why I'm losing my mind. I'm going to continue. Dude, you know what? At the beginning of this season, if you would have asked me about an 8-12 team playoff, I'd be like, hell no. Right now, bring it on. They need an 8-team playoff. They do. Because this right here is about style points and about who can draw on CBS or NBC or ESPN or some other kookly clown network so they can sell Crest and Flakes and everything else. Stop.
Wow.
Alabama lost to Texas A&M to a snake oil salesman. Stop it. To an unranked snake oil salesman. Stop it.
Wow,
Georgia barely beat Clemson.
Hold on. Georgia deserves to be the number one team. You can't put them in anything here, John.
But I'm saying, because everybody tomorrow morning is going to be talking about style points, and I'm going to remind everybody that they couldn't go out Clemson, and Clemson lost to who? North Carolina State? Stop it. I don't want to hear it, man. 18, bring it on. I hope I get a vote. Bring it on. 18 playoff, 12-team playoff. Bring it on. Hey, you know what? 2030, make it 30. We'll open up to like a final.
John just wants to blow it up completely now, folks. He's had enough.
Yeah,
he says blow it up. He has seen enough as we're speaking right now. First ranking.
I know. Paul Feinbaum's probably creaming in his pants right now.
No, you're good. I'm putting it on Facebook, on the Crossroads Sports Facebook page right now. We've got the right now Facebook page, Crossroads Sports. We've got the picture up, the college football rankings. It's showing the top six. Feel free to comment on there. Get the discussion going. I know John will be on there later on this evening. Chiming has his thoughts on there, and we're going to get that thing popping. So, interesting to see there with college football. We got to finish up, John, college football, if we can put a wrap on it. Last week, John, I went 3-6. You went 5-4. Tanner went 6-3. You guys are both 43-32 with one tie. I'm 36-39. We've got games to pick. The only one I'm putting off of here is going to be the Ball State game because that's already started.
Gotcha.
And then I know me and you were going to take Ball State, but John, I know Tanner said that he was off Ball State and done with it. So just in case the game's already started, Ball State's already scored a touchdown, so that one's off the board. Looking now, Michigan State, the number three team in the college football playoff. They are a three-point favorite at Purdue. So we've seen this before where Ohio State has been the number two-ranked team in the country in 2018 and came and took on the Boilermakers, and the Boilermakers won outright. John, Michigan State -3-2. Who do you like? Can the Boilers do it again?
Can they handle the pressure? Can they handle the pressure of being a top-five team, not a top-three team? Can they finish it off before Ohio State finishes them off? Purdue, they've been known to put together some good wins. They had a great win against Nebraska this past weekend after laying the dud. I see why the line is three, man. Oh, man, I don't bet against any other teams. I'm going with Purdue.
I like it. I'm going Boilermakers as well with the upset special. I think Purdue knocks them off. I think Michigan State's in that scary spot, John, where they just beat their big brother Michigan in a big fought game. They've got Purdue now quietly, but they're looking ahead because they got Ohio State, which is now a huge game in a couple weeks. Usually when you look ahead, you struggle. And at that thing, I'm taking the Boilermakers as well in this one.
Yep.
Next one up, Auburn at Texas A&M, the Aggies, a couple top 15 teams in the country. Aggies are 4.5-point favorites in this one. Give me Auburn. I like the way Auburn's playing.
Yeah, Texas A&M, they let it all go a couple weeks ago when they played Alabama. They haven't necessarily looked like they haven't necessarily sucked by that any realm of imagination since. But Auburn's looked better, so I'm going with Auburn as well.
Okay. Navy, the midshipmen come to Notre Dame. Notre Dame is a 21-point favorite against Navy. John, who do you like?
They better win by style points, man. You know what I'm saying? Let the committee tell it, man, because if Notre Dame don't blow out Navy by 17 to 27, they're gonna dip back into, like, the top 15. So Navy is one-dimensional, man. Everybody knows. This is a classic game that usually they get the best out of Notre Dame gets the best punch out of Navy during this game. So, but Navy ain't got a shot of beating Notre Dame this weekend, so roll with Notre Dame.
Okay. LSU at Alabama. Alabama is a 28.5-point favorite. 4-touchdown favorite for Alabama over LSU. Do you 28.5 is a lot, John. But this show, they roll over. They played well ever since he's going to be leaving. Are they going to play warm here? I'll pass this one to you. Who do you like in this one?
I wish Ed Orgeron could just hawk him up one more time and get one more, surprise victory before, he's done with the program. Bama's got too much for that to happen, though. Bama wins probably by at least 3 touchdowns.
Okay. Well, if it's 3 touchdowns, then LSU covers. So who are you taking?
Mercy killing. No. I'm taking Bama.
Okay. I've got Bama as well. I think they end up covering it. Late touchdown puts it at like 30. Ball State trying to do a trick play and a 3-yard gain on the play. Indiana, the Hoosiers, John, after just getting beat by Maryland but covering. Hoosiers at Michigan. Michigan, 19.5-point favorites.
Yeah, that's probably about right, man. Maryland. Maryland hadn't scored 30 points in like in like 3 years, and Indiana gave up what 38 to them, something crazy. Michigan's on a revenge tour; they're trying to.
Is the coach on the hot seat?
In Maryland, for sure.
No, IU.
Oh no, no, Tom Allen, no, no, he's not on top.
Not yet.
No. Not yet. Not yet. They've come back down to reality. That you, it takes more than just having a great starting lineup. You got to have, you know what I'm saying, as far as offense is concerned, you got to have a, you know what I'm saying, you got to have some defensive players. You got to have some depth, and that's what IU is kind of missing right now. So they have some good players on this team. They have some players that probably will, like I said, we'll see on Sundays going further, but they don't have enough you know what I'm saying, depth to compete for a championship. They don't. So give me Michigan.
Okay, I've got Michigan as well. John's favorite, Hook'em Horns, Texas at Iowa State. Iowa State, 6.5-point favorites. I've went with Texas. They lost. I've went with Texas. They've lost. Don't trick me again. I'm taking Iowa State minus the 6.5.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Both of these teams have come off a loss, man. I would go with the other team in any other game, man. I think it's going to turn for Texas this week. I know fallout. It's going to be a great running back matchup. Bijan Robinson from Texas is probably, if they had a better winning record, probably would have been a Heisman candidate. Bryce Hall, same for Iowa State, probably would have been a top 10 candidate had they had a better record. Both of these guys are dynamic running backs. Again, we're probably going to see them next level. But in this particular game, Iowa has had a lackluster season. They've had some key wins. I think, you know what I'm saying, it's just some you know, roller coaster wins, right? But Sarkisian, dude, you talk about a hot seat. Like, if he don't win this, he's got to
– Oh,
you know,
stop it. One year he's not on the hot seat.
Well, you know how they are in Texas, Brandon. So, I, you know, in any other game, I would say go with the other team, but I'm going with Texas.
Okay. Last one I've got on the board, John. USC, the Trojans at Arizona State. Arizona State, 8-point favorites in this one. Clay Helton just got Georgia Southern job today, the former USC coach. So can Herms, the Fighting Herms, can they cover 8 points against USC? I think so.
The game that I like, both these programs that I kind of watch, I kind of secretly root for success. You can't really trust them because they're night and day teams. At one point USC looked like they could have been in the top 10 and competing, and then the next game they lose to freaking Oregon. Or I'm saying Oregon State. So same thing with Arizona. Arizona hawks up and beats a bunch of world beaters and then lays the eggs against BYU and Utah. So much going on with USC behind the scenes, man. Who's going to be the coach? Is it going to be Mike Tomlin? You know what I'm saying? We don't know. Probably not. Let him tell. He's in fact saying no. I think Herm's on solid ground. They like what they have with him in Arizona State and what he's brought to the table. It's just an inconsistency of from week to week that it kind of just bugs the fan base. You know what I'm saying? But for this particular game, the strongest team is probably Arizona State. So I'm going with Arizona State.
Okay. Yeah, and so am I. We'll get Tanner's picks. We'll put them on the sheet this week. Man, John, a lot of college football controversy starting out now, so plenty to talk about with that. Couple notes, I guess, from the entertainment world, John. I watched that new Halloween movie. Have you seen it yet?
Yeah, I went to the show and seen it, yeah.
Dude, Mike is just brutal. There was no chill.
Man, you know, my daughter's a big-time a horror movie fan, man. She's been watching Halloween probably since she was probably like 6 years old, probably younger. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Going to my CD, DVD video vaults. We saw it the night that it came out, about at late night, 10 o'clock. So I've had nightmares ever since, I'll be honest with you, man.
And the fact that they're coming out, spoiler alert, they're coming out with another one, I love it.
Yeah, it ain't. Michael Myers, the gift keeps on giving. He will never die. You know what I'm saying?
She has to kill him, right? That's how it has to end.
But how many times has she come close to killing him? If you go back to Halloween H2O, back to it came out in 2000. That was, you know what I'm saying, that was 21 years ago.
Yeah.
So this we'll be having more Halloween for sure 10 years from now.
Let me ask you this. Let me tell you this, John, a little fun note I just saw on Twitter. Cincinnati made history as the highest rated Group of Five team in rankings in its 8-year history. Last year, Cincinnati debuted at number 7 in the first ranking and finished undefeated and ranked number 8th in the ranking. So they fell back a spot, finished undefeated behind 2-loss Oklahoma and 3-loss Florida last year. So
I wonder why.
There's
more people in Florida.
So Oklahoma's got a good shot, John, because they've got number 11 Oklahoma State, number 12 Baylor, and the Big 12 title game. So if they go 13-0, I think that's enough to jump. I really do.
Yeah, but we're still talking about potential 2 SEC teams in the championship game.
Yep.
Game.
Yep.
And that's not fair. That's why the Big 12 call foul on the SEC when they talk about merger. That's why it's kind of bull-oney that to have the Pac-10 that
Pac-12. Come on, respect.
I'm sorry, I call them Pac-10 disrespectful. They had to get a helping hand from the Big 10 because the Big 10 didn't want to lose Michigan and potentially Ohio State to the SEC when they was all talking about that crazy merger crap. You know what I'm saying? And again, you know what, Brandon? You know what's even more bullish baloney? Because we got to move it on to talk a little bit of baseball. You know what's even more baloney? Next year when Clemson is back to full strength and kicking ass and taking names against the Wolfpack and Carolina and Duke and everybody else, they'll be back in the top 4 and won't be no ifs, ands, questions or what else. And that, like I said right there, is a bunch of baloney because it ain't about winning and losing. It's about your brand name. It's about who's going to watch it. That's what it is. When Clemson's back next year, all this other – there won't be no Pac-10, Pac-12. Won't nobody care. The ACC will automatically jump over them because Clemson will be back.
You talking so fast. Yeah. I thought you were talking so fast with your type. Man, I thought I was listening to Dr. Style Slick for a second. Shout out Slick.
Man, listen,
watched him today.
I can't wait. I don't want the show to end anytime soon, but I can't wait to jump on board, man, because I can't wait to talk to these Alabama fans off the ledge because they're going to lose against Georgia. You heard it right here. November 2nd, they're going to lose against Georgia. Now, that don't mean I don't know if they're going to get prayed for so they can still stay in the top 4, but they're going to lose against Georgia, period.
Baseball tonight, game 6, Braves, Astros. Astros are not dead yet.
Nope.
If you're a Atlanta fan, you got to hope this sucker ends tonight because you do not want to go to a game 7, I feel like, against Houston.
Nah, man. I thought when Duvall hit the grand slam, I thought it was over, man. I know that. And I knew it was early, you know what I'm saying, in the game. But, you know what I'm saying, it was a historical grand slam day. It was like first inning grand slam. And that usually in the World Series, it's only like the 9th time ever happened or something crazy like that, right? And like I said, over the course of this series, the Houston Astros is kind of, I would say both bullpens are about even. You know what I mean? I don't think there's really an edge in the pitching. But Houston's kind of chased a lot of pitching. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of why they've kind of found themselves in this position at down. But like I said, this past game five, they got the pitching. I mean, the hitting is kind of caught up, and they got key hits from freaking Zach Greinke. I know I messed up everybody's last name, but they've got a good team effort and dug themselves out of an early hole in game 5. Can Atlanta get the job done? They haven't won a World Series in like 26 years. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be surprised if baseball season ends tonight and Atlanta wins. But a game 7, game 7 points that the Astros would win. And like I said, so if Atlanta don't get it done tonight, they ain't going to get it done.
Man, it'd be a 3-1 lead they have that automatically would fall away. So just like the 28-3 with the Falcons over the Patriots. A couple things, John, I have left. College basketball is getting ready to start up next week. Champions Classics next Tuesday, Duke and Kentucky, Michigan State and Kansas. Coach K's farewell tour starting, John. I've been studying already, looking at my book. It's got to be world. It's got to be national title or bust for Coach K in the final year. Our Dukies, it's the year, right? We've got the guys, Pillow, Benchier comes in, All-American.
They got some lottery picks, yeah.
They do got some lottery picks coming in. So looking for that. Boilermakers are going to look good. John, we just got our credentials approved for Purdue basketball this season. So we're going to hit up some of those big games up there, which can't wait for that. Next week, John, next week's show, we may do a show next week. I'm not sure yet. I got to look at my schedule. But we will definitely not have a show next Wednesday, John, will we?
We will not. We are going to go see AEW. AEW is going to be here in the circle. All Elite Wrestling is going to be here in the Circle City. We're going to hook up with our good buddy, Fred Felder from the Kayfabe Connection. We checked out a show. You and I and Justin Powell, you know what I'm saying, big time supporter of the show. Hit up an AEW show. And the kid, my daughter. We all went like 2 years ago. So this is like, you know what I'm saying, AEW is back in town. So we're all going to check them out. Hopefully it's a good time.
Yep. And we'll get some footage. We'll get some pictures and some videos. But we'll upload it onto the site. I'll get John singing Judas. I will promise you that. Judas will be on his mind. I'm looking forward to that next Wednesday. We have a show Wednesday. We may have a show early in the week, depending on what schedules kind of look like. And then as well, folks, we're going to start doing some Twitter spaces here this year with the college basketball and the NBA season, just talking hoops, because with so much other stuff going on right now, we can't fit everything, obviously, in a two-hour show. Obviously, we didn't get any calls tonight, but it'd be hard to fit everything in. So we're going to do hoops, college hoops, pro hoops, talk that with you guys on Twitter spaces and Instagram lives. Basically Twitter spaces, we can bring you on. You actually talk on the Twitter space. So we'll put those links out when we do them, in the future. John, I don't have anything left unless you have AEW. That's right. You do have an AEW take, I believe I saw from today.
No, I just want to, you know what I'm saying, to kind of talk about, you know what I'm saying, anybody who kind of follows our show, we talk a little bit about wrestling, WWE, AEW, whatnot. AEW's kind of been sucking in the ratings wars or whatnot. It's kind of due to some of the goofy acts that they kind of put out there. AEW, when it first kind of came out, was supposed to be like a fresh alternative of trying to get away from like the WWE type of circus type of atmosphere, in ring type of atmosphere. And dude, we were privy to the Ghostbusters last week wrestling, and you know, everybody kind of dressed up like Ghostbusters, and then you know, Hangman Adam Page came out there dressed like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. So it's not what they kind of they've let the clownish kind of take over. I do believe there needs to be an element of entertainment and, like, you know, the hokiness that kind of comes with wrestling, professional wrestling, but, you know what I'm saying, there also has to be a level of believability. When you look at, and I hate to compare it, but when you look at Brock Lesnar, when you look at Roman Reigns, they really do look like ass kickers. They do. When you look at the what's the brother's name? The tag team, their AVP, shame on me, the All Elite, the Team Elite team, you know what I'm saying? Like, dude, I can kick their ass. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And I got straight up dad bod. You know what I mean? So they just need to get back to the whole course of the show, because there's great courses of the show that do have that element where, okay, this is legit badass. This is like a real fight. You know what I'm saying? But then they go into this kookiness where it's more clownish than anything you ever thought about WWE ever putting on, you know what I mean? And it's not even done with the conciseness of it, like how Vince would do it. So I don't want to get into a whole big back of like what this versus this company versus that company, but I'm talking about what they first set out to do, and I think they kind of got away from it.
Okay, I appreciate that, and I don't have anything else, John. If you want to wrap us,
man. Dude, anybody wants to continue this conversation about college football, you can follow us on Crossroads Sports on Twitter. You can follow also on me and my fraudulent ass, as Dan Doctor would call me, on Twitter, on Three Foolish Men on Twitter. I like talking crap. I like, you know what I'm saying, sharing information. I like, you know what I'm saying, sharing ideas. You know what I'm saying? It ain't just crap talk. So, but like, you know what I'm saying, we'll also be, you know what I'm saying, continue this conversation on Crossroads Sports Facebook page as well. But that being said, man, we had a great show. I want to appreciate everybody for chiming in on the live. on the live feed on Facebook Live with, you know, saying Tamika and Justin and Craig and Scott K. Nichols and everybody who kind of chimed in on the live. If you have, if you aren't doing that, why aren't you? That's what I would ask. You say, get on. When you listen to the show, it's better to interact with me and Brandon and some of the other audience when you get on the Facebook Live show. Outside of that, I also got to say thank you to our sponsors, Maverick Custom Motorsports, Three Wiseman Logistics, and as well Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance. Support our sponsors who support us just by clicking their links and clicking on their website and seeing what they have to offer. In terms, I guarantee you they got something that you're looking for. Whether it's great insurance, homeowners insurance, or life insurance, and with Scott K. Nichols, or it's something that you want, if you want to pimp out your bike or with some speakers or whatnot, or even if you want to look for a job, as a wide looking for folks to hire up for the winter push. Outside of that, we had a great show, Brandon, and I'm gonna continue the, like I said, this conversation off air. Outside of that, thanks for listening in advance.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.